Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for today is the Romans text from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. 500 years ago this month, a young Augustinian monk, a 32-year-old Martin Luther, was sent to Wittenberg. And in Wittenberg, Germany, he earned his doctorate. And so after earning his doctorate, he began lecturing on two books of the Bible, the book of Psalms and the book of Romans. What began with Luther studying and lecturing on the scriptures eventually led to the events that changed the Christian world then and continues still to do today. For a mere 2 years later, this naive young monk, in response to the sale of indulgences that had been authorized by Pope Leo X, through Albrecht, Archbishop of Mons and Magdeburg, which should immediately tell you if you're a historian buff, there's a problem, because archbishops were only to be over one territory, but Albert, he wanted to be over two and basically sold Germany out for the second one. This selling of the indulgences was carried out by the German, by a priest named John Tetzel, which we Lutherans refer to often as Pretzel Tetzel, because he twisted the scriptures so fervently in his effort to sell these great, gifts from the Roman Church. The indulgence was to raise money for the building of St. Peter's Basilica and to pay back Rome for the Archbishopric of Magdeburg. The call of the Reformation not only changed the world as we know it, but its main teachings are summarized quite simply in the solas. Sola fide, sola scriptura, and sola gratia, grace alone, faith alone, and scripture alone. These remind the Christian that God doesn't require our assistance to make his grace, his gift of faith, or his word effective. Today we Lutherans then celebrate what those of the world can't understand, and many inside of the Christian faith have chosen either to ignore or reject: Reformation Day. Sure, it doesn't occur until this coming, Saturday, October 31st. And October 31st, 1517, 2 years after Luther was sent to Wittenberg, a 34-year-old Augustinian monk was posting the 95 Theses on the castle church door, calling for a discussion or a debate over the selling of God's grace. We Lutherans have been taught that grace is God's gifts, is God's riches at Christ's expense, but I'm becoming less favorable of that statement and prefer this one, that grace is gifted righteousness at Christ's expense. For in the gifted righteousness of Christ, we have forgiveness and favor, which has already been paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So what the Reformation is about and what it does is what the Scriptures do. That is, point sinners and only sinners to Jesus for their salvation. The message that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and therefore needs God to declare them righteous, and this only possible through Jesus Christ, is not a message that sets well with our old Adam or with our neighbors or our friends or the world or the preachers who hate the Reformation and even more so hate our text for today. Paul says rather bluntly, "For by works of the law no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin." Jesus had told a parable that pretty much sums up this thing really bluntly, as he talks about a marriage feast where the king wanted to have the marriage hall filled for the feast for his son's wedding. But the people who were originally invited refused to come, so he sent out his servants to invite anybody and everybody to come in. But in doing so, he provided for them the wedding clothes, the wedding garments they were to wear. One of the guests, assuming his clothes were more than good enough, came in his own clothes. And you're familiar with this account, I pray. Because then the king comes to the man sitting there and says, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" You see, he knew he had provided, but the gift that he provided had been rejected. The man was speechless. This, you see, is the effect of the law. It's to silence us. No excuses can be given. No blaming the devil with Flip Wilson. You remember, some of you do at least. Those who are too young, like Pastor Rafa, can Google it.
Where's my phone?
Yeah. In your office, I pray.
It is.
We can't blame our spouses like Adam and Eve did, and we can't even blame our Creator. When we are convicted by the law of God, all that is left is our silence. Saint Paul tells us, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable. I think the last time I preached on this text, I said, it's just Paul being nice saying, shut your pie hole. It really is what he's doing. You cannot speak before the law. There's nothing left to say when the law does its work. It will drive you to despair and guilt. The law of God strips each and every one of us bare and declares everyone guilty, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Paul's statement rings true. And when he says all, that means you, that means me, that means our neighbors, for all means all. Of this we all pleaded guilty this morning. Thought, word, and deed. Things done and things not done. Often, though, our flesh, in its ever attempt to wiggle out of God's law, will try to view God's law on a sliding scale. Or if you're an educator, you're probably familiar with the term a bell curve. That's great on a curve. It makes it look nicer for some people. But that's not how it's done, you see. This holiness is a false holiness. This veneer is rotten to the core. And it will always leave you making excuses. And if you listen just close enough, you'll hear those excuses slipping out of our own mouths as if it was our native language. Nobody's perfect, as if we take pride in that fact. Who am I to judge? I don't know. Maybe you're the parent. Maybe you're their friend. Maybe you're their pastor. These statements are attempts to excuse and justify our own and others' sins rather than hear the law, repent, confess, and receive absolution. Please remember, God's law doesn't say try harder. It just doesn't. I know some of our evangelical friends seem to think it does. I dare them to find the passage that says try harder. Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And if we take the sternness and standard of God's law seriously, we should be trembling in our seats, horrified by our sin and the fear of getting what we deserve which is eternal damnation. The law of God offers no time off for good intentions. This proper understanding of the commands of God's law drove Martin Luther to the point of despair, fearing that God was an evil prankster who apparently had given the law out to just make our lives miserable, who sat in heaven and watched in laughing at our inability to keep the law. As no work can make you holy before Almighty God. No praying, no fasting, no self-mutilation, not even dedicating your life to the service of God and His church. There is only one thing needful, and that, dare say, was what Luther found in reading the book of Romans, in our text for today, and throughout the book of Romans. The one thing needful is the gift that the Holy Spirit gives, and that's given through the means of grace, as the one thing needful is faith in Jesus Christ. As Paul delivers the good news to all sinners and only to sinners in our text today, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. You see, this is what the Reformation is all about. It's about delivering the good news of Jesus the Christ, who alone lived the perfect life, who alone died our death, and who rose again on the third day for our salvation, and will return to take us someday to be with Him. For He has promised that He goes and prepares a place for us, that He will come again to take us to be where He is. This God gives to all, and here again, all means all, the free gift of salvation. For we hold that no one is justified we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This message delivers our conscience from the guilt of the law. This faith doesn't get rid of works of the law. Paul and James are not at odds with one another. Rather, it puts our works in their proper place. Our good works are only good works when they're done in faith in Jesus Christ. And they don't merit our salvation, or we would have something to boast about. But instead, our good works confess that our faith in Jesus is a living and active faith as we seek to serve God by serving our neighbors who need our good works. Because we don't. We have everything given by God. With all this good news, I know it is horribly tempting to have doubts, to sometimes even worry if you're saved or not. Listen to the Word of God. St. Paul writes so clear, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it." Which again is Paul just being nice, saying, if you'd listened to the Old Testament, I wouldn't have to be repeating myself. "The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Do you believe this? Is the only question left. If you do, thanks be to God. This is a gift of God given you by grace through faith. Sure, we might pray, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief," from time to time, but we still have faith, and with it, peace. By God's grace through faith, we are saved. And now we can be of good cheer. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Have no fear at all, dear friends in Christ. Our God-given faith has indeed made us well. This is why it's important to remember the Reformation's clarion call. This is why it is important to be and remain a member of the Lutheran Church. For while it is true there are Christians wherever Christ is proclaimed, often these well-intentioned brothers and sisters in the faith will rob you of the peace that passes all human understanding in one way or another by wrongly elevating your good works to the wrong spot, and in so doing devaluing the work of Jesus. This is most often done by pointing you to your navel. Curvatus est, pointing you into yourself, asking you, did you feel or don't you feel? This is why we Lutherans never point ourselves for comfort in our salvation to ourselves, but rather we are always pointed outward. We are always pointed away from ourselves to Jesus, and we know exactly where Jesus is. He's not lost. We don't have to seek Him. He is always where He promised to be, and that is in His Word and His sacraments. In baptism, He joins you to Himself in His death and resurrection, marking you as an heir of the kingdom of heaven, calling you by name, and declaring you a child of God. In the Word read and proclaimed, even read in your own homes, there God again is speaking to you, giving you Christ as the words enter in through the faith canal, known as your ears and your eyes, and create for you through the work of the Holy Spirit that faith that clings to Jesus alone. At the table today, Again, in with and under simple elements of bread and wine, Christ has bound Himself for you there. His body, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. His blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This is all delivered to you as it delivers to you Jesus, the one thing needful for your salvation. You see, only we, the descendants of the Reformation, recipients of the Book of Concord, students of the Holy Scripture, and children of our Heavenly Father, receive Christ's gifts to strengthen our faith with nothing for us to add. I know it sounds too good to be true, yet it is true. In fact, it's the way, the truth, and the life true. It's Jesus true. For Reformation Day is for rejoicing in the person God has made us to be through faith in His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for celebrating all we have been freely given by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus, our risen, ascended, and returning Lord and Savior. Let us be of good cheer this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.